This is Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5.
I'm Olivia Rocks.
I'm Rick Astley.
We're the Supremes.
We are the Yule Logs.
And you're listening to the sounds of Christmas.
Hoopla! Podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This is the fourth episode of the second Sounds of Christmas podcast countdown. Through the end of the month, I'll be reposting previous episodes, the top 10 most listened to and most downloaded. So yes, it's a rerun. In fact, it's technically the fourth of 10 days of reruns, all leading up to the new season of the Sounds of Christmas station on November 1st, and at least one brand new podcast episode here. But I wanted to make sure that was clear up front. You may have already listened to this episode, and I'm not really adding anything new to it. So if you don't want to hear it again, you should stop listening now. Still here? Well, I tried.
What number?
Seven.
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 Seven. Seven, 11.
Number seven.
The seventh most listened to and most downloaded episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast didn't make last year's countdown, but quickly became one of our most popular on YouTube when we added our podcast to that site in May. It was all about Jingle Bell Rock. And the most interesting part of it, I think, was the conversation I had with singer, songwriter, consultant, blogger John O'Leary about this song and its history, which included careers ending and lives being threatened. When I started to do some research on this song, I came across a lot of information that I didn't previously know, and it presents quite a story of controversy and tragedy, which most would not associate with Jingle Bell Rock. So I thought I would ask someone who knew more about it than I did to join me for a conversation about the story of Jingle Bell Rock. In my research, I came across a couple very interesting articles written by John O'Leary that chronicle much of what happened, or what may have happened, or what probably happened. So I reached out to John to get him to join us and talk about the controversy surrounding Jingle Bell Rock. Hi, John. I came across this story that I didn't know about the songwriting and the aftermath. And I found such great information on your website that was why I reached out to you. You had mentioned something about a book that you were working on. Is that still in the works? Or
boy, my blog was started in 2007. And it was based around this book I was working on, and at the time I was on I was taking some time off from my consulting career to work on the book. And then I finally finished it, and a couple of publishers liked it, but McGraw-Hill was all set to go with it. But they said I didn't have a strong enough internet platform. So in other words, I had to, nowadays book publishers want you to promote the book.
Right. Yes.
So I did, and I had put in, you know, years at that point. And then I got busy with other stuff with my consulting career. And then I thought I'd get back to the book, but now I've gotten busy with my music career. So the book is there, you know, it's 80,000 words, and I'll return to it at some point.
Okay.
But the blog carries the spirit of it, which is Business Lessons from Rock.
Right.
.com, and it's about what we can learn about business and about business teams, which are rock and roll bands or business teams, what we can learn about all of that from rock and roll.
Well, there is plenty to learn about what happened to Bobby Helms and Hank Garland with Jingle Bell Rock. I don't want to dive right in without sort of introducing you. There's a little bit of information on your website about you, that you had a promising academic career that you tossed to get into music, and yes, you moved
the Beatles came along and that just like threw everything off, you know.
You opened for the Grateful Dead, Joni Mitchell, Sly and the Family Stone, some really impressive names early on. And then you went to LA and you shared the stage with almost a who's who of pop music and rock and roll, dozens of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. And from there into management consulting, executive training, team coaching, music became the weekend thing. And this new venture took center stage. You worked with AT&T, Cisco Systems, Lockheed Martin, Pfizer, the U.S. Army, just to name a few. Lots of big names there. And all this stuff is available to anybody who wants to see it on your website, businesslessonsfromrock.com. And I love this. It says on there that HR World has called it one of the top 100 management and leadership blogs. And you responded with, well, at least I know there must be 100 of them then. Thanks so much for joining me to talk about this. I feel like rushing through your bio, I probably missed a step or two. Is there anything that you'd want to mention that I left out, got wrong, or just glossed over?
No, just in summary, my life has been I've been just crossing back and forth between identities as a performer, singer, songwriter, and as a management consultant, coach, counselor, and as a writer, author, blogger. So there are some days I wake up and I don't know who I am.
So people who have listened to this podcast are thinking, well, this is very interesting, but what does this have to do with Christmas music and Jingle Bell Rock? Well, almost 10 years ago now, you posted a blog called Jingle Bell Robbery, which detailed the business side of the song and the battle over songwriting credit and royalties. And then a few years later, you followed that up with information from Hank Garland's brother that presents, for lack of better words, a conspiracy theory around what happened between the Nashville music power, Bobby yep. Helms, Hank Garland, and Jingle Bell Rock. Can you sort of take us down this road?
Sure. As you see from my latest blog post, I'm not really a conspiracy theorist in general, but there's some really intriguing aspects to the story. It's completely believable to me, because I've heard about it from so many other artists who surrendered a copyright. They wrote a song and it got away from them and they got no credit. And I on my blog, that's a theme that I return to with the Dave Clark Five, Roberta Flack, Roberta Flack's producers getting credit for Killing Me Softly when the idea came from a Lori Lieberman, a songwriter. There's a bunch of examples like that. But the best example and the most costly I can think of is the Jingle Bell Rock controversy, because it's just been a gazillion seller over the years, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And in 1957, they recorded it. And this story briefly is that their producer or the A&R guy at Decca Records, Paul Cohen, told Bobby Helms, you got to record this song. It's a great song called Jingle Bell Hop. And Bobby came in off the road to do it. And he and the studio guitarist at the session, Hank Garland, they said, this song is crap. And they completely rearranged it. New lyrics, new melody, new structure to the song, new bridge. And the only thing remaining from the original song was the line Jingle Bell Hop, or the Jingle Hop. The Jingle Hop has begun. But what often happens with musical artists, especially in the 50s, but even now, so many musicians don't know about the business angle of performing, and especially songwriting and intellectual property. So it took a while for them to realize that their name, that they wrote, that Garland and Helms wrote the song, or substantially wrote the song, or wrote most of the song, but their name wasn't on the singles going out. And Bobby, I think they were a little bit late to the ball game and complaining about it, because it's harder to do it a couple of years later than to make a stink in the moment.
Right.
And Bobby, I don't know the personalities involved here, except that from what I've read, Hank Garland was somebody that you don't mess with. And finally, he got to be a very cranky feature on the Nashville scene because of what he alleged corruption in Nashville, and I think probably more than just about this record. And so that put him in, I think that put him in the crosshairs. And he was driving along 4 years later along the highway, and he was shot at. And he said his car, they shot the tires, and he had a near fatal car accident. He was in a coma. And he said that there were bullet holes in the windshield, and he never regained. He lived for until 2004, I think, but he never regained his flexibility with his fingers. He could play a little bit, but he never regained his studio greatness. And for those who don't know, Hank Garland was considered the top Nashville guitar picker. And he still is. It's funny, just now, like 10 minutes ago, I looked on the site for top Nashville guitar players. And Chet Helms was in the top five. James Burton, who did stuff with Elvis Presley, was in the top five. But number one was Hank Garland.
Wow.
And Hank did stuff with Elvis. He played on the Bye Bye Love and Wake Up Little Susie for the Everly Brothers. He's got an incredible, his resume. And he played on the other song that to me, the two classics of that era for kind of rockabilly Christmas classics would be Jingle Bell Rock and Brenda Lee's
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Right. And sometimes I get the songs mixed up because I perform with my goddaughter, and at Christmas time we do some of these songs, we rock them up. And we would keep getting the songs mixed up, and we realized that Hank plays in both of them. I mean, it's Hank's guitar player that makes them both great, I think. Plus, they both, Brenda Lee, at the age of, I think she was 13 or 14 at the time, she, you know, that's a great vocal on Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I mean, it's a classic. But so is Bobby Helms. I mean, those are two great, great, distinctive, catchy vocal tracks, right?
Oh, yeah. I know Jingle Bell Rock has been covered hundreds of times by other artists, and the same is true for Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And I know when I first came across this story that suggested conspiracy and all this, the first thing you think of is, well, this is sour grapes from these guys because they didn't know what they were doing, or they're just complaining later. But when you look into it, and you can find pictures where they show you Hank Garland's car, and you can see bullet holes. And it's never exactly explained why he was given electroshock therapy constantly over and over again after this accident, right, which left him a shell of who he was. And you look at Bobby Helms, and Bobby Helms had a couple number one hits. He was riding high on the country charts with other songs, and he never had another one after this. There's no way to prove so many years later that he was blackballed, but it seems really odd that he would have so much success and then all of a sudden nothing after complaining about this record.
Yeah, and obviously an uber talented fellow, but he never got back to his glory days. And he did have, actually both of them did make money. I mean, Hank, I don't know how much money Hank saved, but in the couple of years before his car accident, he was the studio musician in Nashville. So he made money off his sessions, but that, you know, dried up after his accident. Bobby Helms still made money off of performances, and he made money off of Jingle Bell Rock as a performer of the song, but not as a songwriter.
Right.
And big money, you know, with radio play, really is the songs. I mean, he lost just tens of millions of dollars.
Sure. Well, and like I had said a minute ago, that there have been hundreds, I think I had seen 408 versions so far of Jingle Bell Rock. And that's all these other people performing it, that's a slice of that would go to the songwriter. And Bobby Helms didn't get any of those 408 pieces.
Right.
I mean, he's not with us anymore. I think he passed away about 25 years ago in that ballpark.
99, I think it was 1999 or 1997.
Yeah, mid to late 90s, I think. But he and Hank Garland both went their whole lives never changing a word of this story, that this was what happened to them.
Yep.
And the guys who were credited with the songwriting for Jingle Bell Rock, I think they had been in newspaper or advertising or something, but their names don't show up on any other song since then.
Yeah, interesting. Jim Beal and Joe Beal and Jim Booth.
Yeah.
Get the full credit for that.
And they, but somehow they had this monster song that they wrote and never another one. I mean, one hit wonders aren't that unusual, but it seems odd that these guys who were not in the music business would write a giant best-selling song and no follow-up, no anything ever again. Very weird. Thanks so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. If you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.